Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set.
So this episode is quite the special occasion. Mm-hmm. So we are together to record, and we got together to research for Augusti's new mixtape. Mm-hmm. We've both been quarantining.
The state of Missouri where we live opened up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen pictures, but the Lake of the Ozarks is fucking crazy. We're not doing anything like that.
No.
We have still been self-quarantined and staying safe, but we are gathering in small groups of friends now. So we felt okay to get together and record this episode.
Yeah. But before we kind of get into this, we want to let you guys know that we recently switched our host site. We were originally with Podbean, but now we switched over to Anchor, which is a Spotify-owned podcasting site. Ooh. We actually had someone from Anchor reach out to us who works for Spotify and said, hey, would you guys be interested in switching over? We said, yeah, we'll look at it. And the switch was really easy, but we just want to put this out there that if there's any platforms that you guys are listening on that all of a sudden we're like not there anymore, mm-hmm. please reach out to us and let us know. We want to get back on all of the platforms that we were on. So this episode is actually going to be the first one that is put out and distributed through Anchor's hosting site. DM us, email us, whatever. Let us know if there's any troubles with the switch. We think it's going to be pretty smooth, though.
Yeah. Another thing I would love to ask you guys to actually go to our new website, because I think it's so cool. Anchor.fm/standingBTS. A really nice looking website. You can access all of our episodes. You can access links to all of our social media. And a super cool feature is that if you're on Safari, you can leave voice messages. Mm-hmm. So you could leave us a voice message responding to an episode, or if you just want to say something to us. So I would be really interested if any of you guys use that feature. Mm-hmm. Please go check out our new website.
Yeah.
And on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, this mixtape is everything we needed right now.
Everything we needed. Or Min Yoongi really saved 2020.
He fucking did. If you're down for that, then you're in the right place, because Today, we're talking about the incredible D2 mixtape released by Min Yoongi under his solo name, August D. But before we get into it, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links, and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS. Also, a new feature on our Patreon for patrons of $5 or more a month. Reaction videos will now be posted a couple times a month. Just last week, we released Singularity, Fake Love, and DNA. Three mm-hmm. different reaction videos. Pretty exciting. Yeah. We hope that you guys are enjoying them.
Yeah. Thank you, Zoom.
Yeah.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingBTS podcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We are more than excited to get into this episode. So just kind of an overview of how we're going to be doing our review of D2. We're going to start off with general remarks of D2, kind of our first impressions of the album or the mixtape. We'll then get into the analysis of all of the songs. So from start to finish, we're going to talk about the production of the song, the lyrics of the song. We'll also talk a little bit about like the who it's produced by, who's featuring on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're really just going to get into the meaning. And then at the end, we're going to wrap up our overall thoughts.
Yeah. Also, guys, please remember that all of, you know, what we say about the lyrics are our own interpretation and mm-hmm. how we feel about it. So if you feel differently or if you've heard other things, yeah. okay, that's just our opinion. So
yeah, it's a part of art, yeah. you know, how you interpret it.
Right. So leading up to the release of this mixtape.
Wow.
Big hit on Twitter, had a countdown starting at D7 mm-hmm. and went all D6, D5,
D4,
ultimately ending with D2. The last one that we actually saw was D3. Mm-hmm. And then on what would have been D2, this mixtape dropped named D2. Mm-hmm. It's super cool because throughout the whole countdown, of course, all of ARMY, all of Twitter is talking about what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
People thinking maybe it's Jungkook, maybe yeah. it's Yoongi, but no, I mean, at first everybody was like, Yoongi just said, don't be expecting his mixtape soon.
I was so mad because we had done our quarantine content episode. We're like, oh, yep, Yoongi said, don't expect it soon, guys. And I almost was like, I need to stop asking for it, damn mm-hmm. it. You know, I need to shut my mouth.
Right.
2 weeks later.
It's here.
Fucking drops it.
Yeah. So... As the days went on and we see this kind of layered, like, Decalomania, like, thing going on, which is another reason why everyone thought it was Jungkook, mm-hmm. We start to see this image emerge. And then on Apple Music,
yeah.
the artist picture for August D was updated.
It got leaked.
And, you know, so I saw some posts that said, like, 2 years ago, Apple Music made it the artist ability to change the picture. It wasn't Apple Music who did it. So he himself may have uploaded it, but hours later it was taken down. But this picture that was put up, everybody all of a sudden could match the picture from the album, from the artist art on Apple mm-hmm. Music to the Decalomania, like D3 and D4.
Yeah, very cryptic image.
Right. So at this yeah. point, we're all like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's definitely Yoongi. Yeah. He's coming back with August D, yeah. you know? And I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is D3.
D2.
What if it drops on D2? Like, why mm-hmm. would he have, with the information of knowing the artist updates their own image mm-hmm. on Apple Music, why would he have done that so early, yeah. you know? So I'm thinking, what if it's D2? Because Namjoon released a mixtape and he tweeted D7, you know, and then he mm-hmm. released it. So, you know, there was all these correlations and then he did.
Yeah.
We had prepared, we set alarms next morning, 6 p.m. Korean Standard Time is 4 a.m. our time. Mm-hmm. So we set multiple alarms to get up. I got up at 3:50.
Kayla actually got up, guys. You were the one who was telling me, like, I think it's gonna drop.
It's gonna drop today. It's not gonna be in two more days.
Yeah, and I was a little hesitant. I'm like, I swear to God, Kayla, if I wake up and it doesn't drop and you're not awake, I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah. Well, because people were like, it's August D, D2. You know, it's his second. second mixtape, like, what if he just drops it day two, right?
It makes sense it now. Makes sense. But any theory you come up with in the moment, you feel like a clown.
You're like, there's no fucking way. Yeah. And I was fully prepared to be wrong, okay? I'm happy to report that this is, like, one of the first times that I was so right.
You were very right.
And we both set alarms.
I was proud of you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We both got up, and it was the longest 10 minutes of my life, just waiting. And then the mixtape. It was actually on Apple Music, like, 3 minutes early.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it's there.
I was shocked at how many songs there were.
Yeah.
I was shocked at how many songs there were. But overall, when I listened to it all the way through the first time, I was like, man, I love every single song.
Yeah.
I love every single song. First time listening through. And my expectations were already really high because it's hard not to have high expectations. But BTS never fails to exceed
them
every time.
Always. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And we even started listening to the mixtape before even realizing that there was a music video. Mm-hmm. And then once we realized that there was the Daejeon music video, we stopped and we went and watched that and then went back to listening mm-hmm. To the mixtape. But my first impression of the mixtape as a whole is that mm-hmm. I really enjoyed every single song.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see at first how many features were on
there.
Lots of features, but I just thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was really intrigued. I liked every single song just by listening to it. Sometimes I really feel like with some songs, I really have to get into the lyrics before I can mm-hmm. feel really committed to it, but that's not how I felt with this mixtape.
No, me either. Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into it. Moonlight is the first song on the mixtape. The literal Korean translation is That Moon. We think they use Moonlight probably because there's already song Moon. That was Jin's song for Map of the Soul 7. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our theory on it. It's produced by Augusti and Ghost Loop. The production of this song, guys, it's interesting because the beat of this track was actually played during Yoongi's V Live from July 14th, 2019. And it was as a sketch version of Epic High's Eternal Sunshine, which he ended up co-writing for. But Yoongi said in that V Live, "Now that I listen to it again, it's so good. Should I use it for myself? I don't understand why it's so good." Mm-hmm. Like in that moment when he's listened to it, he's like, damn, ugh, maybe I should save this for myself.
I'm not going to part with this.
Yeah. I'm glad that he did.
Me too.
But for the instruments kind of in the song and kind of the production of the song, there's this saxophone or this kind of brass like instrument in the background, which I really love. It gives it this kind of jazzy feel, which we have seen with Yoongi's producing before. There's a record scratching, tambourine, piano, cymbals, a simple drum beat, nothing too fancy, but that kind of old school record scratching kind of sets that old hip hop feel. But this rapping that he does for Moonlight is very clean, mm-hmm. very straightforward rapping.
Yeah.
Overall, the song is pretty upbeat. It's groovy. It's fun. It sets the tone for the entire album. Mm-hmm. It starts on kind of an uplifting, positive note. Mm-hmm. It's just a song that really vibes you. But as we get into the lyrics, you'll see that even though it's kind of this fun, groovy song that you can easily bob your body and bounce your body to, mm-hmm. The lyrics get into something a little bit heavier.
Yeah. So just at the beginning of verse one, first he's just talking and he recognizes that it's been 3 years since he's released music under August D. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Fuck it. I'm just doing it.
Kind of laughs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He starts with kind of relating that he's come so far, talking about his beginnings in Daegu, now living in a penthouse on Hanam the Hill, mm-hmm. which is a very choice property to live in Seoul. Mm-hmm. A line, the first line that really struck me, says, "The Peter Pan who still cannot wake up from his dream." And this, to me, is like that, you know, Peter Pan is stuck in childhood mm-hmm. and is not growing up. And to me, it's him thinking about that. Like, he still feels like almost a child, like mm-hmm. he has that Peter Pan who's not ready to grow up yet, you know,
or that he missed out on that childhood or whatever, that this is all a dream and that this really hasn't happened, but he really mm-hmm. did lose a lot of his youth.
He goes on to say in the verse that sometimes he resents God asking why he made him live a life like this. And he questions, you know, himself, if it's possible to go back, will you go back? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to think more about that. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. He's very quisitive in mm-hmm. this first verse. It's not like, it's not negative by any means, but it's negative, definitely yeah. reflective. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we all think about. Like, I connected with this line because I feel like I think back and mm-hmm. I wonder, and am I happy with where I'm at? Yeah. But do I wonder the choices that I made in my teens and early 20s, like what could have changed,
what or could have been different
if yeah. I would want something to be different. Mm-hmm. I just think it's intriguing to think about, and it's something that we all do.
Yeah, definitely.
Then later on, he says, "The emptiness that I feel after flying fucking high." And this just makes me think of Shadow. It mm-hmm. makes me think of a lot of themes in Seven, where mm-hmm. it's that they're on top of the world, yet they've given up so much through the fame. And I remember us on that episode of Seven, like, just perseverating over what they could have given up. Like, we could mm-hmm. just not fathom, because we are not in their position to know what they're giving up. And then in this song, he's kind of telling us a little bit that he's giving up, you know, yeah. or that he has lost, like, even the Peter Pan, like, childhood, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we get into the chorus, and for the chorus, he kind of sing raps here and says, "That moonlight that shines on me at dawn, it's still the same as then. A lot changed in my life, but that moonlight is still the same." And for me, the moonlight is what is grounding him. You know, he's saying, I'm flying so fucking high, I'm on top of the world, but I still have this emptiness feeling. This is, I've wanted this, or I achieved this. Why do I feel that way? And I just think this goes along with being in the spotlight and being famous, a celebrity, that idol life. I can't imagine what that is like, but I'd imagine that, you know, you would feel like you're kind of going insane, or mm-hmm. to feel normal seems almost impossible at mm-hmm. that point. So it seems like he's using the moonlight, looking at the same moon, as somehow grounding him to think, like, I'm still a human. I still had a life before BTS.
Grounding him to his past, mm-hmm. to his childhood, to, you know, what he was before all of this. Yeah. I think that visual is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. At the end of the chorus, he says, "Changes are fated to happen to everyone. Perhaps how we change is what our undertaking is about." Mm-hmm. And this is kind of that old thing where, you know, change is inevitable and you can't stop change from happening.
Yeah.
But what we do with the change, how we approach these changes happening, is what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about who you are or what, you know, what happens. It's more so how you deal with it.
How you deal with it, yeah. Definitely. And then a line that really struck me, I think, out of the whole song was, "Being called immortal is fucking overwhelming." And this had me really reflect myself as a fan,
yeah.
because I have such high expectations and I do idolize all of BTS, and I think, wow, they're kings, they're on top of the world, they're owning everything. And he goes on to say, "But the adjectives they attach to my name feel too much sometimes." And now I'm like, wow, that must be so much pressure, mm-hmm. so much pressure, especially putting out a mixtape. He had a lot of pressure just to put it out, but before, it was like, when you put your music out into the world, you're fearful of what people are going to think. But now you've got all this pressure of being, like, godly to an extent, you know?
Yeah.
Just all these, like, basically feeling immortal. Or
even the idea of that the music, what he's making, and the things that him and BTS have done, like, as far as record-breaking, mm-hmm. that immortalizes him in history. Mm-hmm. Putting out creative content that anyone at any time can go back and access yeah. is immortalizing.
Yeah. We've called them living legends.
Yeah, I mean, and so I'm sure thinking about this music that he's putting out right now in 2020, or yeah. what he put out in 2013, yeah. or, you know, like, all
people
of that.
People might still be listening to it when he's dead.
It's immortalized.
Yeah.
And how overwhelming that must feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Truly.
Wow. He ends the song again with the chorus, which I just love that he's ending on that philosophical line, mm-hmm. not giving us any answers, but still kind of questioning and making us think, like,
yeah.
you know, how we change is what our undertaking yeah. is about.
Really getting you to think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the second song on this mixtape is "Détruit-toi," and A daejeuta is literally meaning great blowing and hitting, but it's a genre of Korean traditional music born in the late Joseon dynasty. This is consisting of military music played by wind and percussion instruments, and it's generally performed while marching. It's also used for royalty processions, and today it continues to be used on special occasions and for military purposes. Some of the instrumentation that we hear in the daejeuta is a gong, a brass horn, a seashell horn, and a tapyongso, which is a Korean double reed instrument, kind of like the oboe. Mm-hmm. We also hear some cymbals, and then there's this special stylized drum that has a dragon design, and it's played with mallets called the yongo that we hear. And we also feel like we hear a Korean string instrument called the haegyeom. And this is kind of droning in the back of the song, providing like a constant mm-hmm. sound. We thought it might kind of sound like a sitar, but we think that it's this Korean string instrument going along with the theme of using this daejeuta instrumentation mm-hmm. in the background. So those are kind of the instruments that comprise the daejeuta. Mm-hmm. This song was written and produced by August D and El Capitan both. That's not the first time that we've seen that producer credited as well. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the song, maybe we're just being so stupid, but we both independently hear Jungkook. And of course, that's not what it says, but that's just where our dumb army mind goes to. Yeah. But there's a lot, along with the daejeuta instrumentation, there's reverse chords going. Mm-hmm. Regarding his rap, he has a lot of change-ups to his flow, especially during the bridge. During the bridge, he completely drops the instrumentation and starts rapping really softly. Mm-hmm. It reminds us of Dang, Namjoon's verse in Dang. It reminds us of his second verse in Shadow. Mm-hmm. And it's a really crisp rap at that time. It's almost like, oh, I don't have any, I don't have to show off right now. It's just mm-hmm. very plain. When he does lessen up the rapping and he switches the flow during like a pre-chorus to kind of be a slower rhythmic, not fast and not showing off, but with the beat of the song, kind of showing off, even
really
at that
slows
point.
It up. He's really feeling out the beat, and it's more of a rhythmic rap at mm-hmm. that point. It's not that fast, quick. How many words can I get out in a short amount of time?
Right. Yeah. And the rest of the time, he is doing a very forceful rap. He is really spitting it.
He's really spitting it.
He actually spits at us with the, you know, and it's just incredible, you know, the versatility that he displays in even just this song, mm-hmm. As far as production is very cool. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into the lyrics.
Yeah. Of course, at the very beginning for verse one, he ends up saying, it's shining, my crown is shining. And just that use of my crown, of course, brought me back to Shadow. It's like a common symbol that Yoongi likes to use mm-hmm. for himself, rightfully. Mm-hmm. But I just love that he said my crown.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, born a slave, but now a king, berserk tiger, Gwanghae flow. I rose out of a creek to become a dragon. So the born a slave, but now a king, and the rising out of the creek, both of those lines kind of deal with a rag to riches mm-hmm. idea, where it's, again, him reiterating that he really came from nothing and built to what he has today. The berserk tiger is referencing that traditionally in Korean culture, the tiger was not only seen as this incredible mystical creature, but also very dangerous and something to be feared because it was so powerful. Mm-hmm. So berserk tiger is just so powerful, you know, overwhelming amount of power. Mm-hmm. And Gwanghae flow is referencing the 15th king in the Joseon dynasty, which was named Gwanghae, King mm-hmm. Gwanghae. Mm-hmm. And so I just think,
clever.
Bringing in some more of those Korean history as much as he's using the instrumentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very clever. So he goes on to say, I was born a tiger. I'm not a fragile pill popper like you. Or it's also translated as, I was born a tiger. I'm not weak like you, at least. And we're kind of thinking the latter is more of how he's using it in this verse here. The yakhata is translated as both weak or to do drugs. And he says Yakata later on in the song too. So it's kind of confusing, but how we're gathering it is like, he's so strong. He wasn't born weak like the rest of you, you know, that he's just so strong. And then he goes on to say, the little shit's putting on a kid's show. Honestly, I find it fucking outrageous. Like these other rappers or these other idols or whoever he's talking about here are putting out like more immature type of content to like mm-hmm. grow up and like, they're not on his level.
Yeah.
It's fucking outrageous. It's not,
that you would think you could compete.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where he kind of slows it up and does that more rhythmic rapping where he says, flexing, I got none. I don't need it.
I love it.
And it's just the dichotomy of him slowing his rapping, making it super basic, mm-hmm. along flexing. With saying that he doesn't need the flex. Mm-hmm. And just that slang term flexing in the traditional sense, like in Western, you know, hip hop culture, mm-hmm. it's such a, you know, you're not flexing your rap style. You're flexing what you have. You're flexing mm-hmm. your money, your chains, your cars, your girls, yeah. you know, your achievements and, you know,
trophies.
But he's not even doing that. Yeah. And it's not even like he does that throughout this mixtape. He literally doesn't need it. He does not need to flex because this music speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of references past Korean culture, he says, ooh, who says time is money? My time is worth more than that. Just saying, you know, obviously, like, you can't afford him.
No.
TikTok, in the face of those Sunbee bastards, I spit. So that word Sunbee comes again from the Joseon dynasty. Sunbees were scholars of the Joseon dynasty, and they were seen as right, righteous, and strict, not well liked for mm-hmm. that reason. And in modern day, the word is used to negatively describe those who are too politically correct and up on their moral high horse. So really, any criticism that he gets from those kind of people, he literally is spitting in their face. He does mm-hmm. not care. You know, he's like, who are you to be so self-righteous?
Mm-hmm. I also want to make a note here before we get more into the lyrics. All of our lyrics are from Genius, Dulcet Bangtan, and we've also looked at Muish for mm-hmm. some other like further Korean translations. So that is cited for all of these songs. So when he brings up Yakata again, we do think that he's using it as like pill popping or to do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So the Korean translation is more so of doing drugs for such a petty excuse. I feel sorry for you. It's just that you have no talent. And I think this is a common thing, especially with artists during like the 60s and mm-hmm. stuff, to use drugs as like motivation or like inspiration mm-hmm. for writing songs. And he's basically saying like, such a petty excuse to do drugs. I feel bad for you. Like, you just mm-hmm. don't have talent. I don't need that. I don't need that.
Or as if like your life and like it, just thinking about like idol life mm-hmm. as if it's so hard. He doesn't have to do drugs like recreationally to deal mm-hmm. with it, but other people do.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So later on, there is another weird kind of translation that goes on. But he says, I wanted close, 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 then money, 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 then goals, goals. What's next? Yeah. What would come next? I suddenly realize where I am, the current situation where I have nothing above me. So that sudden realization of where I am, that has been translated in many different ways mm-hmm. because originally this word in Korean, the origin of the slang that he's using the slang, but the origin of this word is to relate to feelings men feel after masturbation, a sense of like guilt almost after pursuing, you know, sexual pleasure or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's really not how it translates over now, because today it's used quite commonly. It refers more to when one realizes the reality while exploring unrealistic ideas and hopes, suddenly losing passion for something that they could have devoted themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really more of the meaning. This slang is more of like a wise man time or whatever. So it's just kind of interesting to see this like translation go on here. But
I mean, I think that definition, we just had to address it because that
it's been talked
that
about.
Masturbation definition has been going around so much, but like Dulcet says, you know, on the internet and in everyday conversations and even on TV, this word is used now. So we really don't think that it's meaning that anymore. And I think that that second definition of it being like suddenly losing passion for something that you've been devoting yourself to, I think that that really relates to themes that they've been talking about anyways. Yeah. So to me, that's what it really feels like.
Yeah, and he could have a dual meaning for it. Who knows?
Yeah. He says, of course, in this song, I'm a king, I'm a boss, everybody knows my name. Those bastards who only talk shit, off with their heads. And I just think that this is such a powerful line in the song. We've talked about so many different things in these lyrics, but really this whole song is him just promoting who the fuck he is. I'm a king, I'm a boss.
Yeah.
And it's true. Everybody does know his name.
Everyone.
So, yeah.
So next on the mixtape is What Do You Think? It is produced by Auguste and El Capitan and Ghost Loop. It's also written by Auguste, El Capitan, and Ghost Loop. So for the production of this song, guys, at the very beginning, you kind of hear this dialogue going on.
Yeah.
You don't really know what they're saying. It's really kind of distorted at that point. But we hear this, what I described as like this creepy carnival organ. I'm like, I feel like I'm at a carnival and there's that organ playing. And then Kayla, Kayla's like, that instrument has a name.
Oh my God, I know it's called something.
Yeah. And it's called a calliope. And then we're like, oh my gosh, creepy calliope. And we're like, what beautiful alliteration, but we're not going to title this episode that, but I really wanted to. But Kayla knew that instrument and that's what's being played at the beginning. We also hear a trap and snare beat in the background, still hearing this piano, organ, calliope playing in the background with a very deep bass. For his rap style, he has like long ass lines before he takes a breath. I mean, he is rapping fast. He's spitting it. This is like, ooh, this is Auguste, damn it. Like he's telling us something. He's going off. He sounds cocky as fuck. He also sounds extremely fed up. We hear a lot of classic Jungi type sounds that he does when he does rap, like the high-pitched scream that he does. He uses auto-tune really cleverly, really well throughout the song. He does this like,
it's like the real me, you know? It's like saying real me, and but he just kind of like alters it a little bit. So it's like, but he does that in All Night also, that song with him and Namjoon and Juice WRLD. And I just think that's interesting that he brought that back in. So he starts off with the chorus, but then the first, you know, or the last line of the chorus says, no matter what you think, I'm sorry, but shit, I have no fucking interest. This is such a mood. I love this line. Like, you know what? If anyone is bothering you or ignoring you, just send them this song. You know, like, I just have no interest in whatever you think. To be so unbothered.
But the fact that the song is saying, what do you think? Like, he's asking for it. It's like he's kind of, antagonizing.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think? You know what? No matter what you think, I don't give a shit. In verse one, he says, crazy that you'd think that my success has a connection to your failure. And I love this because in the K-pop fandoms, there's often so much like, if BTS wasn't so blah, 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 then this group could blah, blah, blah. Like, if they would just do this, then this group would actually get a chance.
And if armies would just support other fandoms.
Like, and you know what it is? It's just him saying, you know, I'm successful, but I have not done anything to make you unsuccessful. You know, if you're not successful, the only person you have to blame is yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Later on in the song, he bleeps a lyric, and that's just really the line. It's just a bleeping noise. The bleep, the blank. So fill in the blank here. Whoever you are listening to this song, you are so freaking pissed that you faint, you know, is pretty much what he says here. And I'm like, man, imagine if you are a hater, whoever you are listening to this, and you hear that and he calls you out and says, oh, you're so fucking mad, like so angry, you're gonna faint because you're so angry.
So many people on Twitter were trying to fill in like, what's this bleep? And I just think it's any hater,
any
fill in the blank. Reporters, sasangs, antis, netizens, like anybody.
Anyone.
He says, just like they've fallen off their own accord, the whole lot of them, go fuck yourself, huh? So again, it's him, he's not responsible that you have fallen off, you mm-hmm. know, it's on your own accord, and then go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. I just have to bring up this amazing tweet that's like the four sisterhood of ARMY, and yes. it's like, love yourself, face yourself, speak yourself, and fuck yourself. Love which it. Is like a, such a mood. It's like my four moods, yeah. you know?
love it. During the chorus, I love that he brings up first on Billboard, next is Grammy. What do you think? Like, he's just keep going with this, like, yeah, all these success I've had. What do you have to say about it? Actually, you know what? Say what you want. I don't fucking care. I have no fucking interest.
Damn. This is why we're an explicit podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
BTS is explicit. Okay. He says...
Augusti is definitely explicit. He is.
So he says the 10... In verse 2, he says, the 10 zeros in my bank account, that money is the collateral for my youth. I got a big house, big car, big ring. Bring anything over, I'll give it to you. My black card. So first of all...
Yeah.
The money, collateral for my youth, you know, yeah. collateral is when you give up something valuable, you know, kind yeah. of on loan for something else. Exactly. And so he gave up his youth for all this money. Mm-hmm. And he's just bringing that to recognition. And a black card is a common reference in hip hop. A black card is like a credit card that will never be denied and has like no limit. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'll just, you know, I'll give it to you. Bring anything over, I'll give you my black card. You yeah. know, like this is huge flex.
Yeah, it is a huge flex. Very... different from what he said in Day Which Ta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love the big house, big ring. Of course, he's bringing that back
mm-hmm. always.
He goes on to say, all the bastards who tried to sell our name to freeload off us, shut up. I love this because this is like classic people, like big Hollywood reporter type people who don't give a fuck about BTS or really do the research to do an accurate portrayal of who they are, what they stand for, and they're just using their name to sell these fucking reads and yeah. get reads.
Clickbait.
Yeah, all those fucking bastards who try to sell our name to freeload off us, shut up. Like, yes, thank you, Yoongi, for saying it. he goes on to say, I have no fucking interest in those who ask whether idol music is music. When I saw this line, I'm like, is this still a fucking thing? Is yeah. this still happening? Like, just because it's idol music, is it really music? Is it, if it's K-pop, it's not really music mm-hmm. or like not taking it seriously or whatever. And he just says, I have no fucking interest. And those who ask whether or not idol music is music, this is something that they've been asked, I mean, way back at the beginning of BTS when they were old, you know, classic hip hop, underground hip hop rappers. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, really? You're going to go and be an idol? Are you really
going to be in an idol pop yeah. group? Yeah. It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
And you and I, it's not even like we think about that anymore. Like, no. You were really, is this still a fucking question that he has to put this in the lyrics? And yeah. I say, like, you know, I'm very open that I am a BTS stan with my students. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they don't know anything. They know what K-pop is, but they mm-hmm. think that all K-pop is just manufactured and produced mm-hmm. and, you know, that they don't make their own music and stuff. So that's why it has that idea of it's not really being music because the yeah. artists aren't actually making it. And it's just so false.
He's got it. I mean, we're sick of hearing it. Imagine how sick he is of yeah, hearing it.
Because he's the one fucking making it.
I know. Like, it's probably so frustrating.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he's really fed up. Yeah. He's fucking fed up. That song. I love it so much. Yeah. What do you think?
And he honestly doesn't want to hear what you have to think.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. That's what's great.
Yeah.
He wants you to say it just so he can be disinterested and make you mad.
Yeah, really. Okay. So the next song is Strange. And the direct Korean translation for this title is Isn't It Strange, which they say a couple times in the song. This is produced by El Capitan, Ghost Loop, Augusti, and RM, and written by those four as well. And obviously it's featuring RM. So mm-hmm. the first feature on the album, super exciting to see RM featuring on this Namgi.
You know? Ah!
So the production of this song is incredible. And what we talked a lot about is that this song sounds different in that you can hear Namjoon's influence on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like a Namgi song. It reminds us of Respect. It reminds us of, you know, his sound at the same time. So it's cool that they're on this together. Mm-hmm. There's a piano that's kind of melancholy sounding. We hear a xylophone or maybe like a marimba kind of throughout it. It's a great melody and chord progression, like dun 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 you know, yeah. It's very,
when I hear it, it really stands out to me and it carries throughout the whole song. Yeah. And I just feel like that's what really sets the tone for the song. And mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. There's kind of some distorted and staticky noises throughout. And even their voices are overlaid with that sound. Mm-hmm. Auto-tune is used. It's very trap in the way that they used it. Like when they use auto-tune, it's extreme. They use it for like the chorus and it causes extreme distortion on their voices. Mm-hmm. But there is a classic beat and a classic snare. There's not really like a trap beat. Mm-hmm. It's that classic hip hop beat that we're used to Namgi using. Mm-hmm. Yoongi and his rap style really teeters between forceful and more calm, kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then Namjoon, really his whole verse, it's very powerful, very forward, and it's a fast rap. And it makes you think of a poetry slam. He's just kind of getting it all out, all of these emotions, all of these questions. And both of them are asking a lot of questions, not really to provide an answer, but to question things out of a strong curiosity.
Very strong curiosity.
And we really hear that tone come through in both of their rapping.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So getting into the lyrics, the intro here, right at the beginning, everything in dust, do you see? Everything in lust, what do you see? Someone, tell me whether life is pain. If there is a God, tell me whether life is happiness. It's like, whoa. Like, they hit you with this really kind of heavy thing right at the beginning. But I love the concept of dust and lust and being blinded by lust, or seeing dust as like a very something that could actually impede your vision.
You're being blinded by either one.
And truly with this song, I think it really, that's what Strange is all about, is just kind of how blind society can be about these things and how we kind of fit into these norms. It's like, but we're kind of blinded to it. There's lack of clarity because we follow these kind of norms, and we'll kind of get more into it here.
And again, questioning God and asking if life is pain or happiness. In verse one, it's August D, and he says, the world is a giant system. They insert conflicts, wars, or survivals. Life you can't reject. Capital injects morphine called hope with dream as collateral. And I had to say that whole thing because I think even in English, it sounds like such a great rap, and it's been translated. Like, the world is a giant system. Like, this made us think about so much shit, you know, and really have our own little tangent and conversations about how we see the world and the changes that we would like to affect or what we think is strange. And just the concept that it's this they that puts out these conflicts and war, and that the capital, anytime that capital is mentioned, it's like the state or the governing body or even society. It doesn't have to be government, but it can be society, injects morphine called hope, you know,
like as injecting this strong drug.
Called
hope.
It's
hope can be that strong, that intense, that feeling can really be a driving factor, but
injecting it as collateral for the wars and the conflicts and the pain that you feel.
A lyric that comes up frequently is polarization is the ugliest flower in the world. This use of polarization, we really honed in on this when we were doing research, because it's like you have one belief or the other. It's like one extreme or the other. It goes on to say later on, someone who wishes for peace, someone who wishes for war, like, or the one who wants peace, the one who wants a fight. Isn't it strange how they are each at the extremes of their ideologies? And I love how they're just questioning, isn't it strange? I keep going back to the title. I think the title of the song is so perfect, Strange. It's wrong or whatever, but isn't it strange if you think about it? Like, why are there, you're either like peace and love, or you're like, I want war and to fight and like stand for what I believe in. You know, it just seems like there's always this opposing force, this polarization in almost everything. And for them to say it's the ugliest flower in the world. And truly, I agree. I can't get over with society and how we are today. Like, it really nags at me and bothers me that it's so polarized. And why does it need to be? And why is it that way?
And people aren't...
Isn't it strange?
People aren't friends, or people don't talk to their family members because of this polarization. And, you know, when we were talking about this, it was like, yeah, isn't it strange how they're at the extremes of their ideologies? And it's because they're opposites. You know, humans, we naturally categorize and... If you don't want peace, then you want war. Like, there, it's in this society, there can't, you can't be in the middle. You can't, there's no gray area. It's either you're for this or you're for the other thing. And it just leads to the polarization because you have to choose, you know?
And there's pressure to choose.
There's pressure to choose and to have that opinion. Isn't
it
strange?
And if you don't lean one way or the other, you come off like wishy-washy. So dumb.
Or uninformed. At the end of the chorus, they say, they tell you to have dreams, though no one has a dream. There are no answers. Isn't it strange? Again, isn't it strange? Just questioning. And really, they're telling us there are no answers. That's why we like this song so much, because both of them are posing philosophical questions and asking society, you know, the global society, to think about it and to restructure potentially, you know, even just reflect. And not, they're not providing any answers. They're not trying to offer a solution. Like you said, they're not saying it's right or wrong.
They're curious. They're just curious. And they want to, I think they just want to know what we think and what others think of this. And then the people who don't think about this, you know, the people who really just kind of fill the role of society and, you know, they're consumed by their role. They don't really question any of it. Which is strange.
Oh my God. That's so strange.
And they bring that up here too. So for Namjoon's verse, he says, "You think you got taste? Oh, babe, how do you know? I mean, for God's sake, everything's under control." And I love this because I'm like, how do you know if you have good taste? Who makes the decision? Or how do we know what is, quote, on good taste? By the way you dress, by the way you design your home or what furnish your home. Like, how do you know if you have good taste? Like, for God's sake, everything's under control. Things so stupid as that are somehow manipulated into this like societal norm of what is quote on good taste and how does that even come about?
Yeah, he goes on to say are all preferences controlled by the capital? And it's again, the capital being like society or whatever. But
or even like the fashion industry, they're like all the sorts
of. Are you dressing this way? Or did you decorate your house this way? Or do you have your hair that way because you want to? Because that's what was within you, and that's how you wanted to express, you know, have your life. Or do you do it because that's a societal norm? Yeah. He says everyone's a slave to the system, which I think is a big line that again goes along with that.
And then he goes on to say, the dog necklace and a dog house you are so busy bragging about, or people are busy boasting about their dog collars and dog houses. And to me, it's like this is people, like we're just like basically, you know, owned by the system at this point.
Obedient. Dogs are known for being obedient and loyal. And he's calling us dogs in this sense and including himself in it, too.
Yeah, it's not like a like it's a jab not a at dig,
you know, but it's just an observation that we do follow and often so blindly without knowing for ourselves why. And then in his verse, he goes on, he has a verse that this is when it's distorted when he's speaking and rapping. Yoongi has a distorted one earlier on when Yoongi says polarization, the ugliest flower in the world. Namjoon says polarization, the flower that's already bloomed, which is so true. Like
it's
you
in
said,
full force.
It's in full force. It's fully bloomed. It is alive and well. And it's definitely a big cause for concern.
It is the ugliest flower for sure. This is brought up in the pre-chorus a lot, but it says, in a world with its eyes closed, like imagine every human you see with their eyes closed, a person with theirs open. I think it's more strange that only they have theirs open. So to me, it's like the people who don't think about these questions or question society or question like themselves or wanting to fit in, just fit in, you know, it's like those people have like their eyes closed. Like, oh, it's weird. It's strange to see that very few or only one person has their eyes open or really seeing.
And there's like often those people that we think of like really free spirits or not really like, it's rare that you come across a person who you're like, wow, that person is really not influenced by anything else. They're just really living how they want to live. Mm-hmm. And it is strange to come across somebody like that. And you feel kind of jealous about that they're able to live without those inhibitions. He goes on to say, someone who wishes for peace, someone who wishes for war, the wordplay that changes as easy as the flipping of a palm. And this just visual, it just makes me think of how, depending on your situation, you could wish for war or you could wish for peace. You know, it depends on what situation you're in, and you could easily flip-flop.
And it's hard not to like think a little bit about politics too, and how easy it is to change your perspective or your point of view or like your opinion of something.
I also, I mean, just
and it always has to be one extreme or the other. There's like no in between.
I think
it's unrealistic.
Just because you brought that up, it made me think like, it's also okay to change your opinion. You know, I've been hearing and thinking a lot about like, normalize changing your opinion when you get more information. Like, it is okay to do that. But it is interesting that it can be so one way or another, I think is the point that he's getting at.
Wow, I really love Strange. I obviously love every song on this album, but like to get into the lyrics of this, I'm like, this is everything I could have hoped for because that doon 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 doon, that xylophone has that kind of like questioning, mysterious, like, and they're just really thinking. They're really thinking and making you think too. Wonderful.
Love it.
So next on the album is 28. A direct translation of the Korean title is Perhaps I'm Gradually Becoming an Adult.
Love it.
Love it too. It's featuring Naihua. It's produced and written by Auguste, El Capitan, and His Noise. So for the production of this song, there's a lot of synthesizers in there. We hear a little bit of a triangle, that little chime that you hear in the back. There's snapping going on, piano chords, trap, snare, classic bass drum. There's a lot of a sing rapping going on. This song is very, it's very kind of calmer and a little bit more mellow, but very pleasant sounding. So pleasant sounding. It's chill. I love the pre-chorus, that snapping that you hear.
The snapping is major.
And the elegant way of like dropping to lower chords and progressing down the chords. It's just a really beautiful, pleasant song. The sound of it.
So, I mean, I think this song, just as we're getting into the lyrics, we both really relate to this song so much because this song, being titled 28, his age, is really getting into what it means and realizing that you're fully into adulthood. He starts off by saying, I grow old and learn about the world. Even so, could it have been better if I knew nothing of the world? And this struck me immediately because I have been thinking a lot about, I just turned 25 and I've been thinking back to like my childhood when I was so optimistic about the world and I saw, you know, mostly good people, mostly good things in the world, and I just had this really idealistic view of the world and of what my life would be. And everybody grows up having big ideas and big dreams about where they could end up and whatever. And now that I'm a full adult into the world and there's just shitty things being an adult, like paying bills and I mean, and just everything that you deal with.
Thinking about the future. I feel like you live in the future so much.
You live in the future because you feel like you are constantly trying to plan for it and prepare for it. And you have to see what's coming because if you mess up, it's all on you. You know, you don't have anything to fall back on. And so it is kind of that stress that makes you wonder, could it have been better if I knew nothing of the world? That kind of innocence that we lose as we grow up.
He goes on to say, completely different to this room with its lights off, the words I mutter with a low voice. And so I just picture him going back to like his childhood room or something. And though it's like the same, but thinking about how different his perspective is on things now becoming an adult, be having this adult mindset. And kind of going off what you were saying, as a kid, I think the biggest thing for me as I'm becoming an adult is when I, as a child, I had a vision of what being an adult would be like. And now that I'm here, it's not what I expected at it all to be. Even though I knew some of these things like, oh, you're going to have to pay bills, or you're going to have to go grocery shopping and, you know, have a job and whatnot. But I didn't think of like all the true stress and everything that goes along with adulthood and how so many worries and things in the world can really just wear at you.
Mm-hmm. Weigh on you for sure.
Yeah.
In the pre-chorus, he says like the song title, which I really love, "Guess I'm Slowly Becoming an Adult." And he can't remember what is it that he wanted. And he wonders where the fragments of his dream have gone. And this is another one that kind of goes along with the earlier lyric that I talked about that struck me, like growing up thinking about what I might become or like things that I wanted to do. Like I knew early on that I really wanted to like help people and affect change and like be a positive, you know, member of society in some way, like really find a way to do that. And am I doing that on a large scale like I hoped, you know, idealistically that I might be able to do? I don't think so, but I'm a teacher, and in my little community I get to, you know, interact with young minds and affect a lot of positivity and, you know, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to be able to, that I wish someone would have provided to me as a child and growing up. I feel like I get to provide that in my career.
Yeah.
So it's not the whole big idea of the dream that I once had, but there are the fragments of it remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think there's a beautiful sentiment that he has here.
Yeah, I think so too.
Going into this chorus, which is him and Nihua together, is so beautiful. So like the melody is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I'm breathing, but it seems like my heart is broken. Yeah, I've become an adult who finds it hard to grasp my dream." And that's growing up. Really self-explanatory to all that we've been talking about.
In the post-chorus, I think it becomes a little interesting how he says, "Thought I would change after I turn 20, thought I would change after I graduate. Shit, after I turn 30 like that, yeah, then what would change?" So it almost seems like he's talking about how he's changed and how he's as he's becoming an adult, but also it sounds like there's parts of him that he wants to change but haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, shit, when I'm 30, will it change? What will have changed? You know, like,
yeah. And realizing that you have to change it.
You have to change it yourself. But there's something here that is different that he's saying, like, thought I would have changed. So something is staying consistent that he wants to change, but hasn't.
Yeah, for sure.
He goes on to say, "Living, living, living without worries for just a day, without concerns for just a day." Ooh. And I kind of hit on this. This is something that really makes you feel like you're an adult, where it's like every single day there's something to worry about. There's some concern. There's something you're having to do. There's like a laundry list of things to fucking do.
Or that you could be doing or should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you yourself have to be the one to fucking do it. You just got to do it. And he says, "Living, living, living." It almost feels like you can't even live because you're just like every single day
going through the motions.
Going through the motions. So many worries, so many concerns. Just for a day. Can I have just one day where I feel like I'm living?
We really talked about how we both feel like that, like where we would love to have a day where we don't have to worry, you know, and there is always that, oh, if I can get to this place, then I'll be good. Or if I can get to, and then once we reach that milestone, it's still, you still want more, you know? Yeah. So incredible song about, it's like a coming of age song growing up and really just sitting
in. It's beautiful.
Realizing you're an adult.
Yeah. I love the song.
Yeah. I found it very therapeutic in all of what we're personally experiencing right now.
It's good vibes though.
Yeah.
The song is good vibes.
It's good vibes. Oh, the melody is just incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next song is Burn It. And this song is featuring Max, and it's produced by and written by Augustine and Ghost Loop, and then also written by Max as well. The production of the song is like classic August D. There's an electric guitar. He has minor chords, which have a very dark, haunting feel. There's like electric drums and snare in there. There's a really low bass, super, super low. And he has a more toned down trap beat. It's back there, but it's toned down. And then Max, we had never heard of Max before. His voice kind of reminds me of like a combination of The Weeknd and of like Bruno Mars. Just a very interesting sound that I really enjoyed. He starts off the song and it hooked me from the beginning. Going along with like this classic August D vibe, Yoongi, his rap sounds harsh and angry, and his tone is even resentful at times.
Yeah.
But again, he has a very clean, crisp rap. There's not a lot of mush mouth going on. It's like kind of evolved version of the older August D that we would really really get.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of add on to Max, I totally agree with the like Bruno Mars Weekend kind of feel. But that electric guitar in there gives me this kind of electric, not electric, alternative type of feel.
Yeah, I think his voice sounds like theirs, but it's not like that's the style of the song. Yeah, it is like
still
this.
His own, but it's interesting.
It's alternative electric guitar back there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the chorus that Max sets up and really repeats throughout the song says that, you know, the main thing is there's someone in the mirror that you don't know. And everything is all wrong. Mm-hmm. So it sets up this burn it till it's all gone. Mm-hmm. Just not recognizing who you see and just wanting to destroy and get rid of all of it.
Or it's something that you know is you and you see it, but you just don't feel like it's you and you want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that's a very common theme with this song.
Mm-hmm.
During the post-chorus, Yoongi says, "The voice inside of me, the sound within me, Yeah, burn it." And he also goes on to say, I want it, whoa. And so we'll kind of get into this. But to me, it's like, I think of shadow and that greed he talks about. Mm-hmm. I kind of think of the shadow as that part of him where he doesn't really necessarily like it. And maybe it's not his shadow he's talking about specifically in this song, but there's a part of him that he really, really doesn't like. And the I want it, whoa, makes me think of like that greed or like
that
to
greed.
keep going up.
Yeah.
And he constantly refers to like, I'm here, I'm already at the top, there's nowhere else to go, but still wanting more. That voice inside of me, the sound of me, like he doesn't like it.
I think that he is really unsatisfied and he doesn't like the unsatisfaction that he feels, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like the greed, but he knows that it's still
there.
It's so prevalent. Also, just going back to the pre-chorus where he says, yeah, burn it. That's another reason why I feel like this is classic Auguste D.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
burn
such
it.
A throwback. And
anger, rage.
Yep, hell yeah. So in verse one, he says, "Let's go back to the past days, the time that had destroyed me. Jealousy, hatred, and the feeling of inferiority, the life held captive to resentments." Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. The time that had destroyed me, you know, you can think about any time in his past, like since debut or even pre-debut.
Early life,
for sure. Young life, like growing up, you know, poor and not having anything. We remember from the Yoongi episode that he had to choose between, you know, paying bus fare to go home for the night or having a meal.
Mm-hmm. Lack of support for his dreams and desires.
And then the jealousy, hatred, the feeling resentment, like this whole beginning is just kind of referencing this trauma. Clear that he's gone through trauma in his life, and that's leaving him with this feeling of resentment.
Mm-hmm.
As it often does.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, "What has changed in me compared to then? I don't know. I'm not much different. Let's burn it, my past self." So, like, he really doesn't like this part of him, and it's something that he really wants to change about himself. But as he's reflecting on it, he's saying, I don't know, I'm not much different from then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's burn it. I want to burn that part of my life. I want to burn the past.
Yeah, and he says, "We don't know if there'd be ashes left or if it'll remain the same," because he's still saying, I don't know if I've changed. If he burns it, you know, will anything even happen?
Can he ever get rid of it?
Yeah.
Can he ever get past it?
Mm-hmm.
And when he's saying burn it, like, he wants to be over it. He wants to get past it, but even if he were to do that, would it still remain? Like, he's at the point where he's like, I don't even know if it's possible.
He feels that it would still remain.
Yeah. He goes on to say, "Facing you of the deepest place, embarrassment, hatred, disgust, even rage." So that facing mm-hmm. himself, that deepest part, I keep going back
looking
to, like,
in the
shadow
mirror.
That ugly part of yourself, the feelings of embarrassment, hatred, disgust, like looking at that, even rage. I feel even mad looking at that part mm-hmm. of myself. Yeah.
And he says, "Am I being pressured to passion?" Again, that question that comes up in Shadow and like Black Swan, like, where is our passion? Do we still feel passionate? What mm-hmm. happens if we lose our passion? Do I only still feel passion because there's all of this pressure on me? Mm-hmm. You know,
it's my job,
and I'm expected, all these expectations, mm-hmm. you know, even pressure just to release this mixtape.
Exactly. Yeah. This next part, the self-talk that goes on here, you can just hear the rage, that kind of disgust with himself almost. He says, "No matter what, yeah, set fire to it, you bastard. The past you, the present you, anything is fine. So set fire to it, you bastard. And the past you, the present you. So now he's even like showing this sign of like even wanting to burn the present self and the past self. Oh, and the word, the, you know, the saying you bastard. Mm-hmm.
It's like the self-hatred.
The self-hatred that's going on here. Yeah.
He says, anytime the choice and decision is yours to make, I hope you don't forget that giving up decisively also counts as courage. This made us think of his recent FM on April 25th, where he said to a listener who gave up on their dream, I don't know what circumstances you were in, but I think you must have had tremendous courage. Giving up something decisively takes a lot of courage, and you've worked hard. Mm-hmm. And it makes you think of like people who, you know, like just for example, who work towards a PhD and they've been doing it for like 7 years and it's so taxing on them. And then they just stop. They just quit trying to get their PhD. It doesn't matter how much time they spent on it and how much courage it must take to turn away from all that time, all that money, everything you'd given up to work towards that. Mm-hmm. But they feel better after it.
Ultimately, knowing that maybe it's not the path you're meant to be on.
Yeah.
And having to change that and that it takes a lot of courage to make that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad that he acknowledges that, man.
Burn it.
So burn good. It. Yeah. Really great. Mm-hmm. So next is People. It's produced by Auguste and P-Dog, written by Auguste and P-Dog. And yes, there's a little bit of Adora in there. You can hear Adora in People. Oh, guys, the production of this song. There's steel drums.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Yes, that's like a steel drum.
Hell yeah.
There's also synthesizers. For this song, it's very, he's doing a very mellow rap, very good rhythms. He sings in this song, and his voice is so vulnerable and tender. The whole production of this song is light and airy, easygoing, fluttery, and also uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he starts off this song by kind of posing the question, what kind of person am I? Am I good? Am I bad? And he says, the evaluation is varied, which is so true. I mean, no matter who you are, there's going to be people who think you're a good person and think you're a bad person for whatever reason. Yeah. It's just varied. And I think, like, at the beginning, he's accepting this, this concept at least.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, everyone would live on. Everyone would love. Everyone would fade away and be forgotten. People change as I change. There is nothing eternal in the world happening that passes by. Oh, man, I really thought about this. I don't know why this really resonated with me, but this everyone would live on, or everyone will live, everyone will love. Things keep going, but also things fade away. Everyone will fade away and be forgotten. And there's nothing eternal in the world, which I think contradicts what he was saying earlier, where he's kind of like
saying that he's immortalized.
He's immortalized, that he would live on, you know. But this song, I think, is because of how it, the tone of it, it's very uplifting and light and all that.
Comforting,
so,
to think, comforting, to think, you know, even to himself, that like all of this that he's doing isn't immortalized.
Does it? It brings him comfort to think that everything fades away. So maybe it's really not that big of a deal in this moment, whether how I really, what people think of this mixtape or whatever, because eventually everything's going to fade away.
Yeah. It makes me think of when we went viral before we changed our intro.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad intro, the first one that we had, the intro song, but somebody picked it up and was making fun of it. And we like went viral on Twitter, just like a sound, a screen recording of our intro, you know, and it was so awful. This was like almost two years ago, but it sucked. And we thought about not even doing the podcast anymore.
So discouraging.
We were so hurt and that faded away, you know, like it only took a week or so for like that the conversation about it to stop and like now it doesn't even affect us anymore.
It's interesting because you definitely, with this song, when we went in for research to do this, you have a much more in the present, temporary view
and yours
of this
is
song.
Like
mine is like the end.
Yours is like the end of existence. The world existence,
like end of existence is where I was taken to with my translation of this song.
But it's true too, you know, like, and the end of everything, whatever we're doing, doesn't even really matter, you know.
But I mean, you can look at it either way, you know, that kind of like this too shall pass, like in the present, whatever you're going through, it's going to be okay. It's going to fade away, whatever it is. But you can look at it at the grand scheme of things where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed all the time. You know, I'm thinking about my job and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, like, well, I'll just fade away. And that this, like, really, why worry about this? Yeah. Why stress about this?
I feel like that your interpretation is how he's feeling it too.
Yeah.
How he intended it, because I think that that's what's comforting to him mm-hmm. as he grapples with what he's doing being immortalized. Yeah. And then he grapples with the expectations that are fucking overwhelming, mm-hmm. you know? The pre-chorus, amazing. Why so serious? I'm so serious.
Yeah.
And it goes along with just what you were saying. Like, yeah. why worry about it if in the end of everything, it's all going to fade away. This little thing is not going to matter in the grand scheme. You know, mm-hmm. why so serious? But he acknowledges, I'm so serious. You know, mm-hmm. he's kind of questioning. But yeah.
I love how he changes it later on to say, I'm so serious. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, why is this serious? And because you look at all of these songs on this mixtape and the things that he thinks about, the things that he worries about, it's like, he's like, I'm so serious. And it's so cute to hear him like yeah. kind of sing it. Like, yeah. I'm so serious.
Oh, I love it.
So the chorus, he says, what about it? If you get hurt, what about it? Sometimes you might be in pain again. Sometimes you might be upset and shed tears. What about it? I love that. What about it? Because it's still going with that theme of like, who cares? Like, why? You know, like, yeah, sure, you'll feel pain. Yeah, you'll feel hurt. But what about it? You live like that. You live mm-hmm. like that. Everyone lives like that. What mm-hmm. about it?
Yeah. It'll fade away. Yeah. Verse 2 goes on to say, flow along the way the water flows. Maybe there's something at the end. A special life, an ordinary life, each of them on their own. It's all good.
Yeah.
And to me, I really took this as, no matter how your life ends up, you know, in the end of your life and your path and your journey, it's all good. No matter if you think your life is ordinary or extraordinary or anything in between,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's all good. You're mm-hmm. living your life.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it's like, don't be too concerned about where you're at,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Definitely. Another line he says is, who said people are animals of wisdom? The animal of regret is obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because our people, our humans, really the most wise on this planet. Truly. Who said that?
Because we're, like you said, we're living in the future
yeah.
and we're constantly living in the past with any regret that we
regret,
have or
yeah.
wondering what could have been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, continues on the idea of that somebody's ordinary is another person's special and another person's special is someone else's ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And he addressed this in episode 5 of Break the Silence, which is BTS's docuseries on Weverse. And he says, you lose as much as you gain. You gain as much as you lose. For me, I lost the ordinary. That's the biggest change. What that means is, what's ordinary to others is very special to me. Whereas what's special to others is very ordinary to me. Then, before you know it, your set of value changes and the values with which you see the world. And it's true, because to us, like, going to the mall, going to the, I mean, not right now during quarantine, but
yeah.
normal life, okay, think like 2019,
yeah.
going to the movie theater, going to the beach, you know, doing anything is just ordinary. It's not yeah. special.
Mm-hmm.
To him, going to the movies with his friends is special. Having friends to go to the movies with yeah. is special.
Because he can't do that.
Yeah.
He really can't do that. And maybe 2020 is a good example of us getting to understand how the ordinary is now special.
Mm-hmm.
Because all we want to do is the ordinary.
We just want life to go back to normal. That's what everyone is saying.
Yeah. So if you're, I mean, imagine like what he's going through and mm-hmm. what BTS go through, because they just, you know, they crave the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because we crave the special, because ordinary life seems
mundane.
Yeah.
yeah.
Except for now that the ordinary has been taken away. Mm-hmm. Now we want it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Min Yoongi, genius. Okay, so on to Hansul. I fucking love this song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just a note from Dulcet about Hansul, the title. This is an abbreviation of a full phrase, and it refers to alcohol that one drinks alone or the activity of drinking alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it emerged from a recent trend in Korea where eating and drinking alone is like representing the growth of individualism in society, and it's considered considered a way to relax and recharge oneself by having some time alone and away from others and, you know, away from work and social obligations. We have something similar in the West, but it is different. So there's been like a concept going around, especially with millennials, about going to a restaurant by yourself, sitting down at a sit-down restaurant, having a full meal, dessert, having drinks and whatever, and just being alone and being secure and okay in doing that by yourself. Mm-hmm. The difference here is that in Korean culture, this idea is not doing it in public, but doing it by your, like, at your house.
Totally alone.
Totally, completely alone. Mm-hmm. And there has been a extreme negative connotation in the States, especially about, like, in our experience of, like, drinking alone or, yeah, like, doing drugs alone. Like, how it's sad you must negative. Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if your you're going to get drunk alone, you must, yeah, your life must suck and you're just, yeah, like, so sad and whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this cultural aspect of it in Korea, it's really to have individualism and to relax and recharge yourself.
Yeah.
And I could see that. Him taking, yeah, part in that too, as, mm-hmm, just who he is as a person. Yeah. This was written and produced by August D and P-Dog. As far as production goes, there are chords, and at the beginning of the song, there's like buzzing, sounding like high-pitched conversations. It's meaningless talk. You can't pick out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could if you speak Korean. But to us, those high-pitched little conversations at the beginning kind of represented like the buzzing thoughts going around in your mind at the end of a day and all of the replaying the day, all of the stress and all of everything that you're carrying with you.
Those things that are just constantly in the back of your head that, yeah, you just wish you could get rid of.
Yeah.
It's always going to be there.
Exactly. There's also a distorted and slowed talking that is very, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
The song also has a very simple and forward instrumentation. It's slowed down, it's echoey, the echo kind of carries. There's some really great electric drums. There's a sound of a cymbal that's being slowed down, or maybe it sounds like something that's being like dropped in a heavy room.
Mm-hmm.
Something heavy being dropped in an empty room that kind of gives that echo. But a lot of it is wispy and light, you know, mm-hmm, like besides the very deep sound, like the vocalization sounds that you're hearing, you hear like light wispiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then his rap style is not aggressive, but it's also not calm. We've described it as neutral, you know, mm-hmm, it's almost disconnected, but it's just kind of just neutral.
It's just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he starts off by saying, it's kind of a narration. He finishes work for the day, comes home. It's stepping into his room. It's time that he fully faces himself. Again, that idea of facing yourself, reflecting, looking inward. And he says, I detoxify myself with alcohol. So this is his alone time beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes on to say, I'll just drink adequately and sleep. The sleep is not coming to me anyway. So, mm-hmm, he just like drinks an appropriate amount or whatever and then goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Or at least that's his plan, but the sleep doesn't come.
Yeah.
And he says he'll worry about tomorrow's work tomorrow. Fuck, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Which is such a that's how I live my life too. Like, mm-hmm, I'm like, I cannot worry about checking email at 7 p.m. Like, mm-hmm, I need to live my life and, you know, I'll get to it tomorrow. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. The chorus, he says, now I'm feeling like I'm flying. And this is the very light wispiness. It's that feeling of like letting everything from the day go.
That release.
Relaxing, the release. Mm-hmm. That this Hansul, the act of, you know, partaking in Hansul is giving him.
Mm-hmm. So in the second verse, he says, I don't have anju, which is a snack that is typically served with alcohol. I don't have anju because I feel like I'd throw up if I did. As I slowly get intoxicated, let's try to be honest about life. Oh yeah, money, honor, wealth, the trophies and stadiums. Sometimes I'm scared of them. So I think a lot of people, when they become intoxicated, the truth, it's like truth serum.
Mm-hmm.
The truth kind of comes out. So he's being honest with himself. He's thinking about his life in a very honest way because his mind is now intoxicated. And he's like, oh, yeah, money, wealth, honor, stadiums, trophies. I'm scared of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, shit, that's a lot.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, I thought when you became a superstar, you'd live life partying every day, you know, talking to himself. Expectation hits really hard on the back. Just, you know, he's not partying hard. Here he is drinking alone to relax, you know, after a long day, after a tireless schedule. And
expectations really do hit hard in the back.
Yeah.
Like, especially because a lot of times having expectations and they're not fulfilled.
Yeah.
It's really like a really hard slap on the back.
And worrying about not fulfilling them too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He goes on to say, tomorrow comes again and gets dark. Me, that's like this. You, that's like that. Well, we're just enduring another day. Mm-hmm. The use of enduring is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because you think you're just bearing through it.
But the light feeling of the chorus and the overall, you know, meaning of the lyrics is just kind of like that serenity, that release, that time apart from that feeling of enduring a day, you know, giving yourself time to step back from that.
Yeah. You know? There's a release that comes with this Hansul, but there's also the truthful thoughts of the reality of of his day, of what he's living.
I love how realistic he's being in this mixtape. He's not giving us idealistic views. Mm-mm. He's not giving us things to like hope for or search for. He's just fucking, I mean, he's pondering in these lyrics and he just let us listen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So next on the album is Interlude Set Me Free. It's produced and written by Augusti and P-Dog. The production of this song, the very beginning you hear birds chirping, there's different bird calls. It sounds like a modern day version of a 60s, 70s hippie type of song.
Hell yeah.
I really thought of Because by the Beatles when I heard this song, and we even played it and listened to it like one right after the other. We're like, oh yeah, I definitely get that feel, but definitely more modern day. Oh, this beautiful waver of Augusti's singing voice when he sings Free, and his voice is just very honest sounding with this song. But overall, this song is very peaceful. It is up tempo. It's spiritual, indie, earth child type feel. Really love it. Really, really love the interlude Set Me Free.
Yeah, definitely loved the sound of the song before we even ever looked at the lyrics. In the chorus, he says, set me free, knowing that it won't go the way I want. Set me free, knowing that it's not what I want. And to me, this is, he's asking to be set free from something, and he doesn't even care what the outcome of it is, you know. He just wants to be free from this thing that's, that has its grasp on him, or you know, that's holding on, and it no longer matters to him if he gets what he wants, you know, from it. He just wants to be free of it.
Be free of it. Yeah. So in the verse he says, set me free, I'm floating freely in the void. Set me free, these days I feel melancholy for no obvious reason. So kind of feeling sad or down with no true reason for it or understanding of it, why he's feeling that way. But he feels like he's kind of in this void or this like limbo type of thing. And all he's wanting is to be set free. He's asking over and over, set me free.
And a lot of us feel that way because of quarantine, you know, feeling like we're kind of floating through. A lot of people have been feeling more melancholy, just not being able to socialize like we normally do. He continues to say, one day I crawl on the floor, on another day I fly high in the sky. And then he asks, why? And this, just these lyrics just really resonate with me, because it, to me, and this is just like my bias, you know, but it seems like he's really talking about mental health, like depression. He's talked about it before, so I feel okay bringing it up, but like, I really struggle with depression, and I ask, like, I just don't want it anymore, you know? And it just sucks. Like, when I look back and realize how long I've been struggling with it, and like, you know, back to being a teenager when it first really started coming on, and now I'm 25 and still dealing with it.
Yeah.
And he's 28 and just wanting to be set free from it, you know, not worried about what the outcome is going to be, you know, or the ramifications, but just not wanting to deal with it anymore. Because it sucks. And, you know, the, I feel melancholy for no obvious reason is such a depression thing. Like, there's no reason other than you're just depressed, you know? It's not that something happened in life, you know? It's not just the quarantine or something. It's just feeling that way. And it's, you know, not being able to feel happy.
Yeah.
And having those days where you are crawling on the floor, like, you just can't get out of bed. Or, you know, you need to shower, but you just fucking can't, you know? Like, and then the other days that are such good days where you are flying high in the sky, and it's not talking about like mania, you know, being manic or, you know, just really being exerting yourself. It's just on those days where you
function
don't
better a little better,
where you don't feel the depression. So you just feel happy, you know, and you can actually get your shit done, you know? But this whole song where he's just saying, set me free. Yeah. It's like a meditative repetition, calling out, like, just prayer almost, praying, asking to be set free from this condition, you know, so, just so tired of it
that you have to just live with, you know, every day. I do feel like it's like a prayer, like, set me free. He's asking for it. I really do believe that this is what he's talking about with this song. And I'm really grateful that he, like, a lot of people who, there's so many people who struggle with depression, and to have him really put it into words for you to, like, really kind of understand, oh yeah, other people go through this and, like, want this. They just want to feel, that's the feeling that you want, is you just want to be released of it.
And, you know, it's like when you realize that you have it, you're expecting that it's not going to be permanent, but then it's been so long that, you know, you're still dealing with it. But I just, for me, this is not a sad song at all. Like, of course, I just cried, but this song, like, helps so much. Like you said, I mean,
like, with 0 o'clock for me, like, it brings a release, you know? And I think crying is a really appropriate reaction to it, because crying is that type of release that you need, that people need, when you're feeling sad or upset or stressed, whatever. So I'm glad that, like, this type of song, even though it's really meditative and peaceful and very nice and pleasant to listen to, but, like, I think it's appropriate to not only feel this release with the calmness of the song, but to, like, cry and, like, really feel something.
I do feel set free with the song, you know, like, when I listen, I do feel peace, and it does bring me happiness, you know. I feel like I can crawl out of it a little bit, you know. Love this song.
It's a great song. It really is. Okay.
So the last song in this mixtape, Dear My Friend, and a direct Korean translation of the title would be, What Would It Have Been Like? And for this track, Auguste worked with Kim Jong-won of NEL, who also worked on Everything Goes with Namjoon. This song features Kim Jong-won, who is also referred to as JW, and it was produced by Auguste, JW, and El Capitan, also written by those three. As far as production, you thought this sounded like an original soundtrack for K-drama.
Yeah.
Jordan and I both thought, just separately, that this sounds like a title track for an anime, you know? Like, it has that very dramatic feeling. We can just see, like, a dramatic montage of, like, people turning and, like, events happening.
Yeah.
Before we even looked at the lyrics at all, but it's, like, it's very ballady. There's so much passion, so much hurt.
So much hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really contributes to that OST feeling. Yoongi's rap itself sounds passionate too, but there's also some hurt, some guilt, maybe a little resentful, and some sorrow in there. He does sound a little hopeful towards the end, and of course that ballady sound that they're really, especially JW, belting out that chorus. As far as instrumentation, we have piano, classic, we have acoustic and electric guitar, strings, drums, classic instruments, and of course synthesizers as well. All of these really contributing to that ballad feel and that OST feel.
Those classical instruments, I think, really add to that OST feel.
There's also a short but intense drum solo at the end with just piano.
Yeah, at the very end, it's just piano, but there's, like, a big drum solo at the end that we didn't really notice until we looked at the production of the song. So we're going to kind of summarize these lyrics, because these lyrics tell a story, because it really is a letter. It's a letter to a friend. He says, "Dear my friend," and as you go on, it's like an old friend that he's writing to. And
they grew up together and spent time together. other throughout Daegu and in different places in Seoul.
Yeah, but it sounds like even from the beginning that they had maybe some problems or difference of opinion, because he says, I still fucking hate you. But now, as like time has gone on, we see in this letter that they kind of went on their different paths, and that his one friend has got himself into trouble, and that his friend is now in prison at the Seoul Detention Center. And Anyang, which is like a place, felt so far away because now Yoongi's getting this phone call from his parents saying that he's like in prison and whatnot, and that he ends up going to see him and have conversations with them, and just to see that, like, this person took such a different path.
And at one time they were so connected. And now they've taken this different path, and he's going to see them. He's taking a 3-hour bus ride every week to see him and to talk to him, you know, in this detention center. And still mad that this person has taken this path, but ever so missing them, you know, no matter what. He says that, you know, on the, basically it's the day of this person's release from jail. It's a Korean tradition that when someone gets out of jail, you give them tofu to eat, because it's not served in jail, and it's like refined. It's a refined bean, refined soybean. So it's seen as like rehabilitation, and something that's new. And it's also nutritious, so it helps people who have maybe saw some, you know, gotten some malnutrition in prison. So he remembers bringing him that white tofu on the day of release. And when he first saw him, he just thought, wow, how completely different he is now, you know.
And then he even offers him, like, drugs, or that he wants to try some sort of drugs.
Not Yoongi.
Yeah. The friend. And we don't know how literal this is, you know. But he says that he, Yoongi, himself got really infuriated and cussed at him, like, you know, what the fuck, pretty much, you know. So to me, overall, this is something where that I think a lot of people go through that that really isn't talked about, when you have someone you really love who goes down the wrong path. And to obviously Yoongi's struggling with regret here, like, should I have done something different? Like, you know, I should have said something, maybe I shouldn't have done this or done that, you know, maybe he would have turned out different, or, you know, whatever. But I feel like this is a really good, it gives a little bit of clarity or perspective for people who have, like, loved ones who get themselves into trouble. It's like, it doesn't change. You still love them. You still care about them. And it's hard to not feel some sort of guilt, or that maybe you, this is your fault, or something you could have done differently, that this person would have been, you know, done something differently or changed how they, their path that they went down.
And you're upset that you lost that person before they went down that path. He says, there was no way to bring you, who was my only friend, back, and you became a monster. And feeling like not only guilty that maybe you could have done something to keep them from that path, but also missing that person, you know, before you knew that they were like this, or before that they went down that path, missing who they were to you.
There's a lot of strange feelings that come along with this. And I just love how it's put into this ballad that's very passionate and heartfelt, because this is how he, you know, obviously he loves his friend and cares about his friend and wants the best for him. But like, there's also feelings of like, damn, you know, you're this monster now. I don't know who you are, and I miss who you were, and I don't know what I can do to change this. I don't know if I can change this.
I miss you, and I miss you still as ever. The memories of us together circle around me. Maybe if I had held you back then, no, if I had stopped you back then, you know, like, still feeling that guilt, wondering if we had remained as friends, what would it have been like? If Yoongi himself had not taken the path he did, and he would have stayed in Daegu and remained friends with this person, what would it have been like?
Wow. So
heavy.
This was the entire mixtape. I guess we'll just give our overall thoughts now. I just want to mention this now because we just talked about Dear My Friend. To me, when I listen to this album from start to finish, there's a lot of things that, there's a lot of common themes that I see within the lyrics and everything. But before I even looked into the lyrics, I was like, wow, there's so much diversity in all of these songs. Mm-hmm. To me, this mixtape comes off as like a portfolio.
Yeah.
So I think of like artists, especially just, you know, like painters and drawers, they have like a portfolio, or photographers even, demonstrating their works and what they can do, just like a resume of some sort. And this mixtape, I know I try not to think too much of like, oh, what's going to happen to BTS after BTS is done. I try not to think too much about that, but I can't help but to think about it, because there will come a day where that happens. So I almost feel like this mixtape is a portfolio of how talented Yoongi is in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. So like this song, this like original soundtrack type song, we've never gotten this from
Yoongi. Like a true ballad like
this. True ballad. You know? We've never gotten this from him or known that this is like his contribution for maybe a past BTS song.
I mean, I'm thinking like Autumn Leaves, you know, would be like that true ballad, but it's really not something that commonly comes out for him.
No, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I felt like this was in a K-drama when I listened to it. I'm like, wow, he really can do that. Mm-hmm. But then you hear interlude Set Me Free, which is so light and airy, but then you hear, you know,
hippie influence, but then there's also like a classic rock.
Burn It, I'm like, wow, that's so experimental with that electric guitar and that alternative. I mean, he really... And he can write a fucking banger like Dave Wichita. Like, okay, he does it all. He can do it all.
So much variety.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think that this can be seen as a portfolio, like, as, you know, what else he can do. He's been doing a lot of solo work, like producing for other people in, you know, in K-pop.
And I think the amount of people that he worked with and featured for this song really show that he's a producer. So maybe down the road, he really wants to show that he can produce for all these different types of artists.
One of the things that I thought about, all the different features on this, because it was surprising to me, because Mono had like one feature with Han. Maybe he had another one. I don't think Hope World had any features. It was surprising that a mixtape had so many features. And I feel like it just proved that he is as much producer as he is lyricist. Like, a producer knows what they want and finds the people to bring it all together and to make it work. And he really did that,
you know,
with amazing lyrics throughout. But I think that the people who he chose to feature just were put in there exactly what he wanted, exactly what the song was missing.
He has that producer mind. He knew. Yeah. He knew who he wanted for it.
I think that this mixtape is a masterpiece. I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we got it.
I feel very blessed to be 25 right now and to really relate to a lot of the themes of growing up and adulthood that are put into this album. Yeah. He's definitely thinking about that a lot with this mixtape, but he asks a lot of big questions. And I love that for him, he doesn't want to provide answers. But he doesn't want to leave you feeling like hopeless.
Yeah.
He doesn't have you feeling hopeless with these questions. He just wants you to think about it, ponder it, and
normalize that everybody else is thinking about it and worrying about it too, you know? It's very cool that we're contemporaries with him and that we get to get the meaning that we do just because we're also experiencing it. Wow,
guys.
D2.
Definitely reach out to us. Let us know what you think about these songs, kind of your different interpretations of the song, because surely your interpretation is different from ours. And we do want to hear them. We've really enjoyed doing research together. We love doing research for these mixtapes specifically, but even just album reviews overall, because it really, we feel like we're even closer as friends and we're close as hell. It's just crazy. It really brought us to a whole nother point in our friendship.
For sure. Definitely a special bonding experience that we got. We hope you guys enjoyed. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our previous episodes, there's a few things you can do to let us know. You can review us on iTunes. That means so much to us. We love going through those reviews. Every 100 reviews that we get, we do a bonus episode. So if you haven't reviewed yet, really, it only takes a couple minutes. Please go do that. The other thing is go check out our new website, anchor.fm/standingBTS. That website also has all of our social media. If you want to give us some feedback about this episode, why don't you send us a voice message? Because that's so cool. And of course, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.